allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You and I can salute.
We can.
Welcome to the Thursday, March 19th. Los Osos. Okay, welcome to the Thursday, March 19th, Los Osos Community Service District special meeting. And could we have a roll call, please? Can we have a roll call, Ms. Vega?
Yes. Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Kelly?
Here.
Director Sasania?
Here.
Vice President Ohilski?
Present.
President Sparks?
Here.
Could we have a report of a closed session, Mr. Seitz?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. At approximately 6 p.m., the board did adjourn to closed session and discuss those items on the agenda. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B, we did discuss the pending bankruptcy case as on the agenda, the Los Osos Community Service District versus American Alternative Insurance Corporation, D. Murphy versus the US EPA et al. This is the reclamator lawsuit, the RWQCB versus the LOCSD, that's the ACL complaint, and Los Osos Community Service District versus Golden State. This is the groundwater adjudication. Under all those items, we did hear an update from legal counsel, but took no reportable action. Under initiation of litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 and parens C, we did discuss the potential of initiating litigation one case. Again, heard an update from legal counsel, but took no reportable action. And C is conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957. We did hear an update from the district representative, Mitch Cooney, but took no reportable action.
Okay, before we start our administrative and committee reports, Mr. Martin from the garbage company will make a quick announcement.
Tom Martin from the Garbage Company. I just wanted to remind everybody that cleanup week is coming March 30th through April 3rd. That's 10 days from now. So the next two weekends, go out, clean up that stuff, get it out on the curb. We'll take away up to 12 cans for no charge. If you got big items like refrigerators and dishwashers and things like that, call the office because we schedule to pick those up with a different vehicle. And there's a reduced rate of $10 each during that time frame. So everybody get out there and clean it up and give us a call if you need some extra special help.
Mr. Martin, what about things like paint and old paint cans?
The paint cans you have to take to either the Morro Bay Treatment Plant or Coal Canyon Landfill, and they're open special hours because that's deemed a hazardous waste by the state of California, and we're not allowed to collect that.
Thank you. Mr. Seitz?
Tom, could you, as I understand it, they will be picking up their, you will be picking up solid.
Thank you. Okay, so the first item we'll have will be the administrative and committee reports, and we'll start off with the administrative reports and our CAL FIRE, Mr. Benares.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, appreciate again the opportunity to sit here before you and present the Chief's Report for January 2009. In January 2009, Station 15 South Bay responded to 84 calls for assistance. Seven of those were back-to-back or simultaneous calls. Four of the simultaneous calls required advanced life support from the paramedics out of Station 15. Of the 84, 59 were medical aids. 27 of those required advanced life support. Three reported as fires. There were 18 public service assists and two designated as other emergencies. Within those 84 calls, Station 15, the reserve firefighters from Los Osos responded back a total of 19 times. There is a description of the hydrant maintenance program, a request from one of the members of the public at the last or two emergency services committee meetings ago, and I won't go into that in too much detail unless you have specific questions regarding the fire hazard maintenance in the district. As you continue on there is a number of training that both the full-time and the reserve firefighters have attended. I will not go into that unless you have questions regarding training. And finally, as you look back there, one of your engineers, Neil Moriarty, was honored as one of the top 20 leaders in the county under 40 years of age, with a short description behind that. There are a couple other things I'd like to quickly mention if I could take some time up. It is clock turning time, daylight savings time, and it's important. I wanted to remind everybody to check your batteries, replace your batteries if they've been in there for over a year, replace your smoke alarms. We recommend that if your smoke alarm is more than 10 years old, that gets replaced. If you need assistance with either changing your smoke alarm or your batteries, you can give the station a call at 528-1053. Again, that's 528-1053, and we'd be happy to come out and give you a hand. Check your smoke alarm, and we do have smoke alarms that have been provided or that can be provided free of charge if you need assistance with a smoke alarm. Additionally, I'd like to follow up with the gentleman who just spoke before me because it is coming quickly to hazard abatement time. Typically in March, we don't get much rain. Looking at the long-range forecasts, they're calling for this spring to be normal to slightly above normal for temperatures and normal to slightly below normal for rains. So I would suspect that we'll be in fire season pretty soon, and that the winds off the ocean, like we've had the last couple of days, will dry the grass out. So I encourage the folks to start thinking hazard abatement time, reducing the fuel load in and around their homes, and to use the March cleanup dates that he provided as much as possible. And so the final thing I'd like to say with hazard abatement is that the district is taking their responsibility seriously as well. And there is there's a section of district land adjoining to State Parks Reserve down by the mobile home parks on Los Osos Valley Road. And that mobile home, the area around the mobile home park, as well as the district land, has been identified by the focus group as an area that could be treated to reduce the fire hazard, to reduce the overall vegetation that's growing there. Specifically, brush in amongst the mobile homes and then eucalyptus trees that are on the CSD property. So we've been working with Fish and Wildlife Service, Department of Parks and Recs, the CSD staff, including George Milanis and myself, the San Luis County Fire Safe Council Focus Group for Los Osos, which is a small group of community members, and then again, other members of CAL FIRE as well. And so what we hope to do is to reduce the fuel loading in the areas behind the mobile home parks on state park land and on CSD property. And so the reason I'm telling you this is that we're getting very close to starting to implement that program. Everybody, all the stakeholders have lined up and are happy with that, with how we're going to do it and what we're going to do. We've mitigated all the concerns of the Fish and Wildlife Service as well as the State Parks and Rec Department. And so we will probably sometime in April start implementing the work program, which is reducing the eucalyptus and some of the fungal vegetation on the state parks property. And so if you have questions about that or concerns, I encourage people to stop by the station, make an appointment. I'd be happy to go over the plan with them. And once the crews are out there, if they want to come by and we can look and see what they're doing. So that should be going sometime in April to reduce the fire hazard in the Oaks Reserve area. Is there any questions I can answer for any of those three things I talked about or my report?
Director Sennett?
A couple of quick questions.
Sure.
How often should we replace smoke alarms?
I would add to that, though, that in talking with both CSD staff and Golden State staff, we anticipate they're already meeting. They're already building relationships. And George can maybe speak later on this. I forget the name of the group they're calling it. But there is an effort this year to coordinate that better, to make sure that there isn't redundancy and that the areas that possibly may have been missed will get hit.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Menares.
Thank you very much. Have a great night.
And next will be our utilities manager report, Mr. Milanas.
Good evening, George Milanes, Utilities Department. Thank you, President Sparks, board, staff, and the public. I'm pleased to report on the activities for the month of February for the Utilities Department. I'd like to first start with water supply production consumption issues. Repeatedly, there have been concerns that how we're expressing the extraction of water and how it's being used isn't as clear as it could be. So what I'm doing this month is trying a new approach. You know, in the end, and how I've tried to explain it is at the end of the year, everything kind of, it's a wash and it all makes sense. But due to the way we've split up the billing and how I report production numbers, it can look kind of inverted. So what I'd like to start with water supply. Again, the production for January has no correlation with our consumption. So that's the first thing that I want to be clear on. But as you can see in your report, we had a 16% increase from last year as far as water consumption for the month of January. Now, this section here is the newer section, and what I've taken is kind of broken out due to the way we read routes. What I'm reporting on and what you'll see in future utility manager's report is the two routes being exhibited here with what we do. So, for instance...
Mr. Mollis, can I interrupt for a second? You said water consumption, but I believe you meant water production, right?
Well, I moved from water production, okay. But the water production for January, again, is 16%. It's an increase from last year. And if anybody recalls, January, we were enjoying weather that we typically see in August and September, very little rain. Actually, no rain, and temperatures in the high 70s. So that certainly could explain and attribute to the increase for this time from last year. Now, moving on to water usage, what I've got here is the billing period, and I felt that was the best way to express this. And this covers between December 11th. So if you follow along, we're covering 2 months. And that's one route. So the particular route, this is the largest of the two routes, and we read 1,500 and almost 70 meters connections. And it represents about 57% of the total district's water service area. The consumption this year, again, if you take what was consumed in this year and compared to last year, we had an increase of 6.5%. Again, that correlates with the production numbers that also show an increase, and again, could be attributed to the warmer weathers and the very nice climate, I thought, we experienced in January. In that period, also, the revenues generated, that's in your report, is over $120,600. So there are graphs at the back of my report that exhibit the trends since 2004. What I'm hoping is the board can digest this. If there's more information you'd like, if you'd like me to include any tables, I'd be more than glad to do that. But I would like to take this particular report for February and use it as the kind of starting point on what you'd like to see and how you'd like to see this exhibited. So at the very minimum, it's in a very simple, and we can build on this if you'd like. Moving on, we, of course, filed our monthly compliance reports. No violations, no problems noted. Well, there are problems, but there are no violations. Pump was one last summer that basically gave up the ghost. The last time it was replaced was 2001, which is pretty typical, 7 to 8 years on these submersible pumps. This one we replaced last June. It failed as of, I believe it was in February, and we called the same drilling company out. At this time, we have a brand new pump in the well, no cost to the district. The drillers, essentially, we wrote it off to a warranty on the pump itself. There's some question as to the control system, so I've gone through and we've now, we don't want to say the controls had part to do with it, but we're upgrading the control circuitry that was existing. The manufacturer tried to kind of put it on us, but in the end, they held to their warranty, and we have a new pump in that well at this time. And again, no cost to the district. Stormwater management, moving on. Our stormwater management plan was approved last month, and it has been enrolled. So we are ready to go. We'll continue to participate in the stormwater management. Of course, we are partners with the water quality folks, and we will continue to track and revise and try to implement the best management practices. Along those lines, we did tour some facilities this last weekend, and I thought it was a great tour, and I will allow Maria to report a little bit more on that later. With that, there's a couple things that did not make it into my report. First, I want to say we received a letter of thanks last month. The ASCE hosted a luncheon, the SILO chapter, and what we did was it was a presentation of the iBank projects for Los Osos. It was a little bit more in depth than what you saw here, but it was just showing what was accomplished in Los Osos through the last 5 years in the implementation of our capital improvement projects. And again, that was from the ASCE. I also attended this week public education. This is the classroom sessions done by Mike DeMilo. It's in part funded by the ISJ. It was presented at the Baywood Elementary. Three classes were presented with the presentation, and I want to tell you, I was impressed. It was a great presentation, great graphics. Mike had the kids, let me answer that one. And there's a real interactive, just environment there with the kids. So. It was, I think it's money certainly well spent. And with that, let's see, we have an ISJ meeting next week, and that concludes my report. I'm glad to answer any questions.
Hey, Director Cecina.
It's not about your report, but some of the retaining wall outside the 16th Street tank seems to be missing. And, I was wondering what that was all about. If it was an encroachment into county right-of-way, wouldn't that be a horizontal issue, not a vertical? And I don't know. I was just kind of curious about that whole thing.
You want to take the lead on that, or do you want me to do? Well, I was advised that we had received a notice of violation by the county encroachment inspection, permit inspection officer. Apparently, it has to do with the retaining wall. The violation itself, it started with a complaint by a resident. And the basic issue is the county has nothing in their book of codes that allows for retaining walls in the public right-of-way and easement areas. Now, excuse me, but...
I think the bottom line is we negotiated with the county and we got it down to 14 inches. We didn't have to remove it. They wanted us to remove it. We got it down to 14 inches. And that's kind of the bottom line.
We're good with the slope above that to the next, the concrete wall. It's not going to unravel and be a stormwater issue down the street. And we'll keep an eye on that and we'll talk with the county, I guess, if it becomes one.
Construction about 10 days. So the initial scope and cost associated with that scope of work was much higher. I believe it came in under $2,000.
How many?
$2,000.
And that was for the report and consultation and everything?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Milanos, you mentioned the reporting here, and I want to thank you and your staff for. I know that's a lot of the data that I had asked to see, and you've been providing it. It's historical, so I think it's very good to follow trends in conservation production, and not only the graphs, but where you've provided the summary spreadsheet data. So I know I appreciate it, and the public appreciates it, and of course it brings up a lot of questions. And I appreciate your report again tonight, and I still think we see this. What I would say an anomaly this year in this even year to date, we're still production or consumption out, you know, ahead of even after 7 months, consumption out more than production, which is something we haven't seen in looking at the prior data and the significant amount that it is. It's begged a lot of questions, I think, from my mind and in the public. And so I know the last month was a different trend, but overall, you know, through this fiscal year, we're still seeing that significant anomaly, and it's raised those questions. Okay. Director Cena.
I make a point of order, Joe. I don't have a hearing device and hearing challenge. They don't have any batteries.
I'll work on that.
And next, thank you, Mr. Milanos. And next is the admin report, general manager report.
The district has been contacted by the Salvation Army, and they will again be assisting individuals within our community who are having difficulty paying their utility bills. The people who would seek assistance should call the Salvation Army office in Morro Bay, and we can help them also get to that number.
Thank you. Any board questions? Next is the committee reports. We'll first go to the standing advisory committees. We do have written reports from the prior month in here, and I guess we'll start with emergency services.
Thank you. I think that the report as it's submitted in the agenda package is pretty self-explanatory, so I don't know that I have anything to add to that. I think what we're going to try to do, not only as our committee, but I think all the committees, go ahead and have a written report that's under consistent format, so the public, not just the members or the community that are at the committee reports, will be able to know what's going on. So I think that that's self-explanatory, but I would like to just report on where we're going in the future. At our next meeting, which I believe is April 21st, if I'm not mistaken, of the advisory meeting, what we discussed at our last meeting was to develop and come up with some priorities for the strategic needs of the emergency services in the community. And the committee members we'll be working over the next month to come up with priorities so we can look at our long-term needs and short-term needs as far as emergency services. So I would encourage the public to contact the members of the committee or to contact district staff or to contact me or email us with issues that you may want to have prioritized in our strategic plan for the emergency services. We're also looking at some possibility of identifying areas where we can do some revenue enhancements for the fire department, which will help increase the revenues available to the emergency services that the community receives. And I think, you know, the two meetings that I've had, I think I'm pretty happy with the way the committee's working and the conduct of the public, and the input from both the public and the community, or pardon me, and the committee has been very, very valuable. So I would encourage people to come out, but I think that it's gone really well in our first two meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Kelly, Water Utilities Committee.
I agree with Director Hilsky. I think the report, I'm going to let the report stand for itself rather than reiterate it. But if anybody ever has any questions regarding it or would like a copy of it, feel free to contact me. So I'm just going to let it stand as it is.
Thank you. And then, again, there's a Finance Advisory Committee report in here. And as well, we just had a meeting again this last Monday.
Back, and there will be public comment. So for anyone that's interested in this, in the wastewater relationship between the wastewater project and water supply, and has any questions or comments or wants to participate, that would be a great opportunity. So for whoever would like to travel into San Luis. So I can I'll submit a written report then after that meeting. I will be attending that, and I'll make sure that's in the next agenda packet.
What was that date?
Saturday, April 4th. Starting at 8:30.
And where is that at?
In the Board of Supervisors chambers in San Luis Obispo.
Thank you.
Do you want me to...
And on the training conference?
No, on the ad hoc.
Committee. Oh, on the ad hoc committee. Oh, that's right.
Just a real quick update on the strategic planning, because I may need a little bit of direction from the board at this point in time. I did meet with a couple of local facilitators who do live within the community. And frankly, the process, there's two choices we can go. We can go really short term and just review our mission statement and our, you know, our vision and look at our services and do a real simple short project that can be facilitated by ourselves. That's not my recommendation, but we could do that. The other one would be more of that in conjunction with long-term. It would be more of a long-term process that may take a greater amount of time. You know, anywhere could take anywhere from 3, 4, 5, 6 months to do a 5-year range plan. Developing that process, my personal opinion at this point in time is that we do look outside the community for a facilitator, even though we have very qualified people from within, just for political and perception issues and reasons, I think it's really important that we try to find someone from outside of Los Osos who can properly do that for us, just to encourage as much stakeholder participation, because it's really clear from the research that I've done and just from discussing it with facilitators, stakeholder participation is really critical to full district long-term strategic planning. If we just want to talk about the board and what the board's doing and how we think our services are, then we can do a real short process. So that's where we are right now. But I'll come back with a more complete presentation on the 4th, hopefully, or the 2nd. But right off the bat, my first recommendation to begin this process is that we change our structure of our meetings strictly physically. It's very difficult for us to communicate with each other effectively in that we're always leaning around and looking, trying to reach around. And so it's really more conducive for discussion. And the way we could operate meetings, I believe, more effectively is just to even change the way this room is set up. And I think that would be the first step in looking at how we interact and any future discussions that we do have. So that's my update, and that's my one initial recommendation, is that we look at how our meetings are physically structured.
Thank you. I'm up for that. Director Cecina, I think it would help on our NIC action as president, as you know. It's difficult. Any other reports on attendance at other meetings?
I had one other comment. It was suggested and requested at our last advisory committee meeting that the advisory committee agendas be posted on the website as well as the board meeting agendas. So I'd just like to request from staff if that could be done. I think that would be helpful.
Right. I have talked to our staff, and then the fire committee is posted by the fire department. So we'll talk to Amy about that.
And I just wanted to report, I was invited to, at the end of February, a stakeholder meeting sponsored by the county where they invited stakeholders in the wastewater project that was in Morro Bay and included representatives from Golden State, myself, the Fish and Game, Regional Water Quality Board, representatives from our state legislators were both there, Assemblyman Blakeslee, representatives from the from Congress are there, from two districts, as well as from both of our senators, and it included a tour out to the Tonini site. So it was, again, distress with the agency's cooperation and facilitating for the wastewater project. And then the last item is Director Kelly's report at the CSDA training.
Again, I think I'll let this report stand for itself, but if anybody has any questions about it, I'd be happy to answer any questions. It was a very good training. It was fairly well attended, very interesting representation of different boards. There's so many different types of special districts. That was really interesting. There's about four CSDs and then various other types of agencies, and very helpful. I did bring back...
So if you could... Please come to the podium and state your name and begin.
My name is Al Barrow. I live in Los Osos, and I just want to make a couple of comments. First of all, the last comment about the vision or whatever it is you're working on, I think that you ought to consider get more information about the bankruptcy so you know the condition, the financial conditions of the districts and its limitations. I had a conversation with George Milanos the other night, and he said that the district was applying for stimulus package for the piece of equipment. What's that piece of equipment called?
For the inner tie.
So we are. It looks like we are asking for some stimulus money, which is encouraging. And I think we should ask for everything we can. Squeak the wheel gets the grease. Fire department needs to put out a bulletin of what services they do for the community. I don't think the community is aware of what services we have. And a bulleted communique mail to the people or make it available somehow would explain the services we're getting, because we're getting some great services from the fire department. And then I heard that Mr. Sparks threw one of the members out, or one of the public members out, of the finance committee, and I was disappointed because the person that he threw out is somebody who's been very, very helpful, worked very hard for the district, works on the financial numbers, and has talents that a lot of us don't have. And I was disappointed with that. I don't think it's a good policy. If somebody is insisting on having an answer, just tell them you give them the best you can, or you get back to them, or something like that. But throwing people out, I don't think, is too good, especially Mr. Margeson has given so much of his time to the homeless shelter, to the alcoholics, and the people that were down at Duval Ranch. And he is a great citizen here. So I wish you would give him an apology. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. George Taylor, Los Osos. My concerns are regarding the water department and the pump that failed on us. And I have some questions for Mr. Milanos that have to do with his statement that there was no cost to the community, to the water department at all. And I want to know... I realized that it was the responsibility of the pump manufacturer to replace the pump, but there are some ancillary costs that I'm wondering if they were not possibly absorbed by the water department. And I'd like to know if that is true. Then there was some cost, and that has to do with the pulling of the pump itself from the well, and then after it's been installed on the pipe, the lowering of the pump back into the well. That I want to know whether those costs were absorbed by the pump manufacturer, or whether in fact they were actually part of were absorbed by the water department. Another part of that is the standby, any personnel from the water department that was on standby during this time, that is also a charge to the water department. And so when he says there was no cost to the water department, I wanted to see that in writing, that as to a breakdown, if there was any personnel and if there was any equipment or anything used to pull that pump and to put it back in. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Mr. Milanis, there was one question there. Could you respond, please?
Yeah, actually, I heard a couple, but I'll comment on one. No, the extraction and the reinstallation of that pump was totally on our contractor. The cost to the district, we did have to accommodate the removal of the roof, even though they use their cranes. There is a little bit of work involved in dismantling the roof itself. It's not significant.
To be implemented to deal with the seawater intrusion, as the draft EIR said, it's up to the water purveyors to deal with this issue. So that cost is going to come back on those of us who have water purveyors. I hope this board, first of all, supports the idea that all those in the basin should pay for dealing with the saltwater intrusion issue, and not just those with water have water purveyors. I hope you go on record for that. The other thing is to, you know, when the county did the study regarding importation of water, that cost us taxpayers in the prohibition zone money. They could have found that information out very inexpensively by spending maybe half an hour over Morro Bay and gotten that information, part of the information of import of state water, because they had all the same information that was presented to the TAC several months before that report came out. And what I'm looking at is that there are places like Ojai Water Basin Plan that has been implemented that charges an extraction fee for each certain amount of acre, whatever the per acre foot they charge an X amount of dollars for everybody in the basin. There are plans also when you look at Eastern Municipal Water District, who deals with agricultural issues, recharge system. They also deal with wetland issues and get paid by the fish and game for providing water to the wetlands. They're very extensive. They deal with probably 50,000 acre feet a year or more. Also, when I contacted Orange County Water District, they sent me information regarding the cost of their injection wells, what it costs for after the per acre foot for treating the water to get it back in the ground. And that's information readily available, and I like to see volunteers try to get this, tease this information out as best as possible instead of hiring consultants, which I have a feeling is going to happen. Consultants will come up, and we'll be charged for their input when we can provide a lot of that information on a volunteer basis by contacting these agencies who are very willing to provide the information at no cost to us. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Cooney, can you briefly, you brought up the basin plan. We're still doing studies as part of the ISJ group, technical studies, and can you provide a reminder of when that first phase of studies is expected to be complete?
Completely complete or just the first draft?
First draft.
Oh, we're looking somewhere in the fall. I mean, just before we get anything really fleshed out.
Thank you.
David Dugan, Los Osos. I would suggest on this water issue, concerning the ISJ, is to contact the Department of Water Resources because our funds available to pay for these studies. through a grant, if you haven't done that already. So contact Department of Water Resources. I was concerned when I heard the remark from Mr. Olhisky that the report speaks for itself, and yet the people at home don't have the report in front of them. And I haven't looked at the report myself. But I would suggest that if there's any substance whatsoever to the report, that you go ahead and make a report and not expect the people at home to rush down here and look at the report, or even go online and see if it's online, that you do make a report, because it's not, you don't have the right to decide what we should or should not hear. We should hear it. And so, according to the Brown Act, you should not say it speaks for itself. You should speak towards whatever report you have. And it may not be nothing. It may be just a few things were discussed and that was it. But at least don't tell us it speaks for itself, because the public doesn't know what you're talking about when you say it speaks for itself. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. The next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. I'm still concerned about the anomaly. I think that's the word you used, with the water production and consumption numbers. And I see in this report we no longer have the charts, the running numbers with the actual consumption numbers lined up across to follow. And I noticed that total production for last year's January in this report is stated as 17.46 million gallons. And then below, consumption for that same period is 19.24 million. There can't be 2 million gallons with it. There have actually been meetings in this district in the past, especially dealing with the fire issue, and when the bid contracts came forward, that I pushed the issue on purpose. And I did end up getting thrown out. I'm not ashamed of getting thrown out of any of those three meetings that I got thrown out of, because it made the issue come to the forefront, and it made the questions, it made the district respond to the questions in a more timely manner. What happened the other night, I think, was, I still don't believe it was appropriate. I'll leave it at that. We'll try to adjust in the future. But that one, I don't believe I should have been thrown out of the other three in the past, especially the one where Stan and Richard ended up trying to get the restraining order, where they actually lied to a circuit court judge. That one I have no problem with. Thank you.
Thank you for a comment. And Mr. Margetson, first of all, on this, on the production, actually, I think you're off by a month. From January a year ago, the production was 17.4, and the consumption was actually 14.6. But I think, again, the larger point, and Mr. Milanis, we do appreciate the Excel format as well, is the significance of this year versus the prior years is what really stands out. So
I'm actually talking about the front page.
Pardon?
I was talking about the front page of the report, where it actually states that last year's consumption was 19.24 million. And this year's production was 17.46. Yeah. We're still at the 2 million gallons of...
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's that contradicts what in the Excel spreadsheet, which is the numbers I just gave. Mr. Milanis, do you have a brief comment in response to that?
Yeah, just briefly, and for clarity, again, the correlation between consumption in January this year has nothing to do with consumption. I mean, the production and consumption. These are totally separate. And so last year's production number doesn't correlate either. And that's what I'm trying to get across. And for clarity, this is strictly a production number. As you can see, the billing and consumption is in two-month increments. So, and it is based partly on a calculation. So if that helps explain the situation. But I'm certainly open to any suggestions that may flush this out a little bit clearer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Milanis. Mr. Bartosz-Ohilski.
Yeah, if I could respond to Richard's other question, I have requested that we agendize that for the April 2nd meeting.
Thank you. Well, Speaker, please.
I have a question, not a comment, because I'm somewhat confused as to whether can I wait till the general public comment to make a comment about how meetings are conducted? Or must it be done now in the context, since we've had a couple of people raise the question of someone being thrown out? Now, you know, I would hate to sit here and then we come to general public comment on issues which are not on the agenda, I'll be ruled out of order. So I'm asking that question now.
You can make during general public comment issues on how, you know, you what you like or don't like about how meetings are conducted.
I'm still confused. Are you saying I should do it now, or can I wait till later?
Wait, your question. Well, there's general public comment at the end. Right now, these are on the administrative and committee reports that have been presented, and you're more than welcome to make comments on those.
Well,
this is a special meeting, and we normally don't allow general public comment, but since we didn't have a regular meeting this month, general public comment is on the agenda at the end of the agenda.
Okay.
I think, does that answer your question?
Thank you. That was an answer.
Thank you.
Rachel Rosenthal, Associate President Joe, I just wondered, you just said that you have the Excel spreadsheets that are clear. Oh, you don't have Excel spreadsheets that are clear. Okay, what were you talking about then? That you like the Excel spreadsheets. So
yes.
I'll end. Okay.
Thank you. No, again, for clarification, the spreadsheets were in the February report, and I had those with me, so I was able to, look at some of the data. Thank you. I just make a brief comment. You know, it's come up about Mr. Margetson getting thrown out. I appreciate all the public comment, and the committees typically have been run with a lot of latitude, and we've run the finance committees with latitude.
A speaker from out of town.
Make a motion. I move that we accept and file administrative and committee reports.
I'll second.
Ms. Vega?
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Sesania?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
President Sparks?
Yes. Okay, general action items. The first one is item A, to receive the final report from FCS Group regarding the 2009-2010 water rate study. And we have from FCS, Nick, make a presentation.
Could I ask a point of clarification here? On the agenda, it says the general action items and public comment first. Doesn't public comment come after the presentations here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so... because it says each speaker is limited to 3 minutes, which would infer that it goes first. But so the public will have an opportunity to speak on these two items after the presentations are completed.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Great. Well, my turn. I want to thank you for your time tonight. And since the February 5th meeting, we have delivered the final water rate study report to the district. And since that time, that we've also received additional comments and questions as well. The final report does account for some clarifications and edits, and it also made a correction given a comment from the last meeting as well. That correction referred to the revenue streams and the split between fixed revenue and variable revenue. That correction didn't change any of the analysis in the report because the revenue projections are actually based off of the financial documentation that was provided by the district and not the consumption data. It was more of a qualitative description. But what that does mean is that
the 35% of the district's revenue is coming from fixed and 65% from variable, and it means that the district is susceptible to some volatility depending on conservation measures as well as consumption behavior. And it reinforces the fiscal policies that are recommended in the report, specifically the rate stabilization reserve. Since the final report, we also received additional comments and questions. A lot of those comments and questions referred to alternative rate structures and possibly reducing the allowance from the 9 CCF allotment to 8 and possibly 0. Now, what we did mention in the memo that we did write in written format was that doing that analysis is really based on a cost of service study, which would require a detailed analysis of the customer information. We were looking off of summary information and doing a revenue requirement gross increase as opposed to looking at distribution usages. And what Mr. Milanis has done is a great start to starting to analyze some of that information. And the second part to that would be the billing system's capability to actually give a billing frequency that would allow for that type of analysis. Another comment in the questions was regarding the rate model that we are going to provide to the district. And the functionality of the rate model is to really examine what-if scenarios. So one of the comments was, what if conservation does hit and the revenue stream is reduced? On an aggregate level, that can be explored in the model, as well as the need for any additional capital projects and use of the reserve. So in the next coming week, I will be working with district staff to deliver that financial model and give a little training on how to use it as well, so that can be updated with numbers and exploring different what-if scenarios as well. So with that being said, the next steps is to deliver that model. And again, the draft report, we did make a few minor changes and clarifications, and the final report does represent those. And there's a written memo that also is going to accompany the final report as well to clarify some issues. Any questions or comments?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Almeida. And if you could stick around for the public comments, or some questions may come up.
Oh,
just a minute, Mr. Almeida.
This is kind of a silly question, but it crossed my mind, and I'm surprised I didn't catch it further. On page, can't even tell what page I'm on. In the memo, there was a discussion about, in the response to our questions.
Yes.
And I want to clarify, when we talk about the district's debt service and obligations, we're specifically talking about the water department? Correct?
Yes, we're talking about the iBank loan.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, take public comment. If you could go to the podium, and if you would form a line for a...
I thought it was very educational, and I really learned a lot working through it, and I hope it's a really general tool, and that their recommendations aren't, we don't have to take them, and that you'll play around with that model a lot, I think, and just learn a lot about the interrelationships of the different pieces of the water department, but that I hope you'll make clear to the public that it doesn't mean we're necessarily going to get a rate increase, that it's more of a study tool for the general financial framework of the water department and how the different pieces interrelate.
Thank you. Mr. Almeida, I think there's one question. Could you respond to on taking the school district out of the model?
Sure. And in the model that we are going to provide the district, we do have the summary information that was provided in that model, and that calculation can be done. I don't have the numbers in front of me today, but that is something that I can work with Mr. Milanis on providing that information if needed.
Thanks. Next speaker, please.
3 minutes, huh? Richard Margaretson. The first question deals with, in the memorandum under, I guess, the second page, there's a sentence in here that says, the question dealt with whether they ran the numbers through the rate structure to see if the revenues would equal what was projected, and the answer pretty much is, in fact, I'll read it. Instead, the actual rate revenue realized for fiscal year 2007-2008 was used to project future rate revenue. And I understand why they had to do that, because they don't have the rate blocks broken down individually. I mean, the district system doesn't allow for that at this point. But Chuck Cribbs and I have been advocating at Finance Committee and probably Water Ops too, that we believe revenue is going to be down at least $100,000 this fiscal year. And we've been talking about that for 6-8 months. This rate study is based on a projection out from a number that you're not going to realize this year. So I'm curious where this rate study is going and when you're going to have the discussion about if there's going to be a rate increase, when, and what's the justification for either. I think community needs to hear the justification for either there not being one or there being one. If you're not going to have one, I think you're going to need to justify it to the community, because there's discussion that there's going to be some changes in the administrative draw from certain departments. We've already heard about one for the drainage department is being reduced. It's minor, but it, $15,000-$16,000 I think it works out to. There's going to be a reduction in administrative draw from the fire department. So I'm trying to figure out where in the future, if something happens that increases the administrative budget, where the additional funds are going to be to cover administration. If you have a reduction in revenue in the water department now, you don't have a water rate increase, and somebody has to pick up that shortfall in the administrative department. So I think it's got to be an elaborate discussion about where we are going forward. Other than that, I think the report was very well formatted. I'm a little concerned about the effect of water conservation down the road, especially with the project forcing 160 acre feet on us. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just state briefly, in my mind, and we can discuss this after the rest of the public comment, but there are a couple of hurdles. We talked about that in the Finance Committee, that looking at our reserve policy and establishing one before we consider a rate increase, and then looking at, as part of the, we had a fall into the mid-year budget, looking at the costs that go to that expenditure line of the water district, as well as admin, which influences the admin draw. So I think there's a couple hurdles that we have to work through in the next couple of months before we make that determination on whether we do actually need a rate hike or don't. Mr. Dugan?
David Losos. And it's also, I think the last two rate increases were done without a benefit of a rate study. And so there may just be an adjustment of who gets charged what, and there may be an increase for some areas and a decrease in other areas.
30% of the community. And we did discuss how we could solve that, and to avoid that pitfall or falling off that cliff, we could take the tax money that we get from the county and allocate it to the administration costs and do it in that manner and then give an equal amount. So that was the one concern that I think you still have to struggle with. No easy answer there. But certainly for the last 10 years, the burden of the administration costs for the district has fallen to a greater portion on your water rate users than on the Cal Cities or other citizens who are using the benefit of the district. The second point I wanted to make was that as we conserve more water, naturally, the waters that we use will cost probably the same amount of money as if we had used more water. And I think that's logical that, you know, if we use 3/4 of a gallon instead of a gallon, we still pay for the gallon cost. And I don't know if anybody gets that, but what I mean by that is simply that we're going to have to keep the level of revenue available for the district from the water department, even though we're conserving a lot of water. And I will make a follow-up comment in the public comment period regarding the quality of the water and the amount of the water and how that will affect the type of collection system is used. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Any additional public comment?
Oh, yes. This does not work, and I don't know why it doesn't work. They have a battery, but I have to walk around the room. You've seen this exhibiting this unusual behavior of walking around going like this. There's something wrong with the projection here. I don't get to hear it.
Okay. And we'll bring that back to the board. And any board comment? Okay, Director Kelly.
One of the things that kept coming up in the two couple of meetings that I remember is this. Is it called a rate stabilization study? Is that the next step? And just at some point when we do discuss this, I'd like to have a little more information on, or a little better understanding on the steps that we would need to really go through to really adequately address what we're trying to do with this study and how it's going to have an impact on our water department. And I believe that I would like the board as a whole to have more information on the rate stabilization study and what that might cost and what the impacts would be on us being able to make a decision long term. Because I've known it's come up in committee, but I don't think the board has had a chance to discuss that much. Just for future.
I know this is the recommendation is that it does go back to the Water Advisory Committee, and that's right. That's one place where we could get a recommendation to get quotes for that. Any additional board discussion on this item? One item in the staff report, it does say to assimilate the information contained in the water rate study with the district's 2009-2010 budget. My feeling is that, I mean, I know this is specific, but it should include prior budgets or even projected, if we get numbers from the state on projected property tax revenue out beyond that, we consider prior and even future revenue projections is when we go back to the Water Advisory Committee, not just restricted to this with a budget, because it's not out yet, and it's going to go to the Water Advisory Committee, and they can't assimilate with a budget that they don't have yet. So my recommendation that it includes prior budgets as well. Well, given that, I'll go ahead and make a motion. I'll make the recommendation that we receive and file the water rate study and reassign it to the Water Advisory Committee to assimilate the information contained in the water rate study with the district's 2009-2010 budget, as well as prior budgets and future revenue projections, and the utility department's capital project request list for inclusion in the final budget document.
I'll second.
Ms. Vega?
President Sparks?
Yes.
Director Stennett?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Committee rather than a standing committee, so there'll be a date on it. So the recommendation is to appoint Vice President Ohilski.
I would just make one comment on what Mitch just said. I think 90 days would be more appropriate than 60, if that's okay. Then basically, I just volunteered to do this because of my working relationship with Fish and Wildlife, so I think that it's something, you know, obviously.
Director Cezina?
I guess one question and then one observation.
What's the definition of a committee? Is that a committee of one? Can you have a committee of one? Because I have a good relationship with Fish and Wildlife, too, and if you need help, I wouldn't mind being on your ad hoc committee. I mean, even in terms of if it comes to costing consultants to monitor the fencing, I do that kind of stuff all the time at work. So,
I think Mr. Seitz can answer the question because I asked that same question, and a committee can be one person.
Mr. Seitz?
Yeah, I wouldn't know the Greek pronunciation for the singular of a committee, but what the Brown Act says is less than a quorum.
Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and take public comment.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. I would ask that you do include Chuck Cicinia on the committee. First of all, the fence is a great source of heartburn, I think, for all of us. But is it prudent to take it down when the property is a liability right now, in my opinion? The drainage situation there is someone really could get hurt in there. So I think that needs to be discussed and analyzed. Is it truly safe to take the fence down? The district's paid for the fence some 1.5 times its value, valued at $30,000 last I heard. I'd like the general manager to maybe play a little hardball with the fence company in that there has been some depreciation of that fence, and it's about time to lower that rate, if not take possession of the fence at a greatly reduced price. Maybe even threaten snails on many of their other fences. If you are going to enter into any sort of negotiation with Fish and Wildlife, I think the negotiations should include erosion control and or repairing the fence if you can't get it down. And then, curiously, the county has put up an environmental fence out in front of our fence in preparation, I'm sure, for weather, but also sort of preceding the signal work. And that fence will have to come down too, and perhaps we can piggyback with them on their snail monitor, because I'm sure they're going to have one to pull that out of there. So, you know, just a few ideas. And then I would be curious if this is a precursor to a low-effect HCP for the district, something that I feel is very important that the district get busy on, and you know, remind Fish and Wildlife that that's an unfunded mandate that will cost the community a tremendous amount of money. Those are some of my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos, CDO number 1000. I was reading another article on an ad hoc committee to deal with the county on getting a price and a possible appraisal of that property. And the question that comes to my mind is, what is the statute, the whatever, of the bond that was supposedly put up to restore that to Esha? And wouldn't that be a good thing to lean on and see if we can't get the money to put it in shape somewhere near a saleable piece of property? I think the people that bonded that should pay to have it restored. It's a great geology lesson that where the sediment pond that collected all that water off of Redfield Woods and that cutoff low we had that dropped 3 inches of rain in an afternoon.
If there's any additional public comment after Mr. Dugan, if you could please line up. Thanks.
David Wilson, and I didn't expect to be up here this many times, but
later on, I guess you're going to be looking at appraisal within that 90-day period. Will it fall that the county might take the property? And I don't think it's going to cost us X amount of dollars to have an ad hoc committee, but to include the county on this somehow or another, as they may be taking the project prior to the fence coming down. I mean, and then they'll want the property. And so perhaps the county may want the property when they take the project. And the fence may still be up. And it'll be in their hands, yet you guys will be, if they take the project and they ask for the property, are you going to deny them the property? So these are the questions you need to ask to get with the county with, because are they going to want the fence up? Do you already know those answers? Maybe we should hear those answers here now. What's presumed, and perhaps the county should be in on this ad hoc committee somehow or another, getting the information to include them in on this process and explain to us, please. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next speaker, please.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow, Los Osos. My comment is twofold. Number one, I think the district should contact the insurance company and see what liability coverage the district has. So I think that would be the number one thing, to say that if we take the fences down, do we incur extra risk or liability? And that's not to say we're not concerned about preventing injury. And that's a second issue, is that how do you prevent somebody from going over that gully? I mean, you can post it, but, you know, I think that's going to be a real challenge to do that. And the third thing is that the take has already occurred on that property. The take occurred when the bulldozers hit it, when the construction went on, and the mitigation for that take, and you probably know more than I do about this, Vice President Ohelski, but and I would love to hear your comment on this, and Chuck's, is that the mitigation, as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife has written, was done at the Broderson site for the take on the Midtown, Tri-W, whatever you want to call it. So it just begs the question for me, why would the fence require any mitigation? It would seem to me that that's kind of like stretching the law, the environmental rules, since we already have paid $4 million for a site that will mitigate the site that we bought for $6 million. If anybody could answer those questions, I would love to hear those answers.
Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. As far as the Tri-W fence goes, I think there's a little confusion for me, and maybe somebody here could straighten it out. If the county gets their preferred project, that would mean a large facility on the corner of the Tri-W property, but it would not need all 11 acres of the Tri-W property. And so I am curious as to whether there is any discussion to dividing that property up so that a portion of it would be sold, or is it going to become the mitigation for Broderson, since it was originally Broderson was the mitigation for Tri-W. There's a lot of other questions here about the legality of what the future of that property is going to be. And as far as the fence goes, the whole back side of the fence is down, and vehicles are now joyriding on it. So there probably should be some discussion, if it's going to stay up, whether it can be resurrected so that it keeps that kind of essence out. Personally, I think we're all ready to see it go down, and I think along with that, I'd like to know if what kind of monies we're looking at for restoring it back to habitat. We have never really heard a number, and I think the community needs to know, because if the wastewater project uses the little corner area, an acre and a half, the rest of it will be paid for on our sewer bill, just as was the problem with the prior situation of a sewer paying for a park. So maybe some of those questions could be answered now if anybody has any answers. Thanks.
Thank you. And next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, or them paying for it. You know, we're not flush either. I know they have budget problems, but they have a much bigger budget number to draw off of and much bigger reserve balance to draw off of. I am curious to how the what the discussion is going to be regarding the portion that's already down. And if there's any different evaluation dealing with that, and whether the district was responsible for maintaining its upright position over the last year or so, and if that comes into it, but that's for you. But my last comment is I absolutely believe that if Marshall's going to be on there, that Chuck should be on there also. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Any additional public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board.
Thank you, Vice President
Ohilski.
Just in response to a couple items, I think that having Chuck on the ad hoc committee, I think that's a great idea. So I think that if you would appoint the two of us, it would be fine. But I think I just want to clarify what the scope of the committee is. We're not talking about restoration of the site. We're not talking about the long-term use of the site. We're not talking about any expenditures of funds. We're talking about the removal of the fence. That's it. I have no intention of expanding the scope of the committee to get into restoration, mitigation measures for the sewer project or whatever. It's simply we're expending almost $1,200 a month to have that fence there. If we can get it removed, that saves us money monthly, and that's the whole intent of this, is to work with Fish and Wildlife and Julie Vandeweer to remove the fence. And I have had some preliminary discussions with her regarding this subject. So expenditure-wise, at this point, nothing. It's just a matter of working out a scenario with Fish and Wildlife where we can remove the fence without taking any additional snails. And that, I mean, that's simply what we're going to talk about, and I think Chuck and I have talked about this conceptually, and I that's it. It's just a fence. There's nothing else. I mean, if the county wants to buy the property, put in a pumping station or whatever, that's their issue, quite frankly.
Hey, Director Cicina.
Yeah, I think one way to look at it is Steve's comment about the money we spent for the monitoring of the well site, $2,000 for monitoring and handling all the construction activities at the well site. If we can spend $2,000 to get that fence down, we've saved, 2 months. And to wait for the county's involvement, and you know, it's going to be a year before the county even knows what they want to do out there, I believe. So that's the approach, is let's get that fence down for cheap. I don't really think that the bond that was put up was for Esha restoration. I thought it was just back to a safe, stable condition. I don't think it was to handle full Esha restoration. And the way to look at the mitigation in terms of haven't we mitigated that already and this and that, and Broderson handled that, Broderson handled the habitat destruction and the killing of any snails that were there at the time. There was take at the time. Since then, snails are recolonized. There would be take again. So even though you might not be forced to mitigate for habitat because it was destroyed and hasn't returned, there is a separate mitigation required for the take of the individuals of the species. And that's what we'd be looking at now. And hopefully there would be no take because Mr. Sloan or whoever gets hired would be able to happily move the snails. Those are my thoughts.
Thank you. Yeah, I believe when we look at cost, I mean, we went down, as Director Cena knows, we went down this road before. And that cost at that time was going to be, as I recall, $5,000 for a monitoring and contract while we tried to surgically remove the fence.
I think certainly if we did come back with any financial requirements, I mean, it would come back to the board. Chuck and I are doing this free for at this point, so it's no expense to the board.
Director
Thank you.
Senator?
I think a concern is the frontage along LOVR being almost a sheer drop. And I think that's a safety concern, so there may have to be some barrier there for as a precaution, but maybe include, just broach the subject of, you know, laying back slopes or adding fill to make it in a safe condition.
Any additional board or staff comment? Well, then I would like to appoint Director Cecina and Vice President Marshall Hilsky to an ad hoc committee to establish a working relationship with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to mitigate the removal.
I believe there's an incorrect date there. The term of the one of the rates goes back to 2007, and I believe it should be 2009.
Agreed.
Am I reading something incorrectly? Where is it?
Any other items?
I have a brief comment on the minutes for the 29th, I think it is, January 29th. Let's see, this is the 4th page in under C, consider staff recommendations for tentative mid-year budget adjustments. Under the general public comments there, Rick Heath spoke in support of the Taxpayers Watch lawsuit, which will result in judicial review of the prior board's action. Did you mean to say Mr. Heath believes that it will result in judicial review of the prior board's action, or is that really a true statement? I guess I'm wondering what we're after. Did he say that this is going to result in that, or is it? I guess I'm wondering, is that suit going to result in the judicial review of the prior board's actions? Is that a definitive statement, or is it Mr. Heath's statement?
That was Mr. Heath's statement.
Then we need, which he believes will result in. Okay, thank you.
Okay, on the letter from Shipsey and Sites, 2 of 3, and it's the first bullet on page 2.
Yes.
Okay, that's a typo?
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah. Okay, and that's my only concern.
You know, I had a brief question for clarification. I think I'd asked you earlier today, Mr. Cooney, on the financial statements, which I'd like on the cash available for distribution. Is that something you could clarify at all?
Those were approved, but they have not been expended. They are just currently still held by LAIF, but the board did approve their transfer if needed, and they haven't been needed at this point.
Okay, I wasn't clear. When did the board approve that? Did you know? Because it didn't show up. Was in February?
No, this was before my time, so I don't know when they did. Ampi, do you know when the board approved that?
Okay, I'll go ahead I'll go ahead and pull that item. And that is So what we will pull are items, thanks, D, F, and G. So that will go ahead and start with consent items A, B, C, E, H, and I. And before taking public comment, is there any staff comment on these other items?
No.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and take agenda or public comment on A, B, C, E, H, and I. Go ahead, Mr. Dugan.
David Dugan, Los Osos, on E, and I wholly support rehiring as the general counsel, Shipley Insights. Should never have been let go in the first place. And the reasons are because...
Hang on, Mr. Dugan. Can we have it quiet in here? There's getting some background noise.
Okay.
I'm having a hard... Go ahead.
Mr. Seitz specifically, but that whole group has a knowledge of all the players involved in the city. I do welcome that group back, and I support this recommendation.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Gwen Taylor, my question is, are you taking F on the consent agenda, or are you just taking E?
We pulled F.
Yes, you did. My question is, are you taking comments on just E at this time, or F also?
No, we're taking on A, B, C, E, and then H and I.
My question then is there going to be a list of appraisers available to the public to see before either...
That's pulled for later. We'll discuss the appraisal later, Ms. Taylor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? The warrants are up for discussion.
If I can find it now. Oh, here it is. Mr. Cooney walked away. And I appreciate what he's working for the district for, so this is not a criticism. I'm curious about... Page 4, the mileage reimbursement to Mr. Cooney for $345. Is that for 1 month, or is that since he started with the district? Is that his first? Is that your first disbursement, or whatever? I was just curious.
I turn the mileage report in about every 3 weeks.
Okay. Okay. And then the refund from the CSD board training in Fresno, is that because, Marsha, you weren't able to attend it, so you got the refund back? Is that was that the amount of the class was 200? Or was Mr. Cooney, he's looking at you.
I'm sorry.
Rich, let's wait till the end. Okay. Go through your list.
Okay. That's it.
Can you answer that?
I can answer that if you'd like.
Ms. Vega?
The registration for Directors Kelly and Ohilski was done like right after they took office, and then when it was clear Director Ohilski was not well enough to attend the training in Fresno, then, well, you had been sick. But whatever, he was unable to attend. I was able to get $200 of the $225 refunded. They only kept $25 at CSDA.
Thank you, Ms. Vega. Any additional public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for any motions.
Yeah, I'll move that we approve the items. It's the items minus, I believe, D, F, and G. Is that correct? No?
Yes.
That is correct.
It's minus D, F, and G.
Yes.
I would like to make that motion then.
And can I amend it with item E as amended?
Yes, correct. And I think, yes. And the meeting, or pardon me, the minutes as amended also.
I'll second.
Chuck already did.
Ms. Vega.
Vice President Ohilski.
Aye.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Sasanian.
Yes.
President Sparks.
Yes. Okay, next item. Okay, why don't we take a 5-minute break and then we'll get back on it at 9 o'clock. April 2nd meeting, Mr. Cooney will bring before the board some financial items, and so we're going to have a special finance committee meeting on March 30th. So just let the public know that. So with that, we'll go ahead and take public comment on item D, receive financial statements.
Richard Margaretson, just one question somewhat related. When will the board be having public discussion of what's going to happen with the proceeds from the reimbursement from the insurance company? Thank you.
Mr. Cooney.
That will be part of the budget deliberations. Currently, the proceeds from the insurance company reside in LAIF, and the distribution of those funds will be part of the budget process,
and they'll show up on the next financial reports because
yeah.
they weren't
right.
received until then.
Right.
Rachel Rosenthal, Los Osos, Director Sparks. I just want to ask you. I don't want to belabor this point again, but. I put in some requests to inquire about this reimbursement on these upper aquifer pumps that were done under the I-Bank. And it was money that was going to come back from the I-Bank to the district. And I tracked it, and I put in different requests to find out what happened. But I just want to ask, as this moves, I know Mr. Cooney and Ampi and everybody are working really hard on the financials and the budget, and I think it's just great. And so, I mean, I almost even hate to ask a question at this point. But I just want to ask, while he's doing all the work, to take a look at the capital spending for this year in the fiscal year 08-09, and if we can't take a little bit more care about itemizing the capital expenses, I think that there are, and also, like, for example, in the fees of the normal expenses of the water department, AMPI has a comment, 6340-45, fiscal year 08-09 budget reflects a decrease of 15% from fiscal year 07-08. And this assumes there will be less regulatory review of plans and projects as a result of capital improvement projects winding down. But the expenses for the I-Bank all should be under I-Bank. And that's in earlier, I'm not sure if it's in this version, that was in 500 fund comments earlier in the year. And I just feel like we just have to pay attention to not, like, the 62,400 capital expense now was for the iBank pump, well, drilling. And I've asked for different materials, and I really don't even, I just want to mention it again and ask for the capital expenses from the water department to be really documented, and the names of what they are. There's like four pump things, and that those iBank expenses be separated out. And if they came from ratepayers, then just admit it, and let's just show that properly accounted for this fiscal year.
Thank you. Mr. Cooney, do you have any comment?
I agree, and that will be part of our audit process also. We're going to be working very carefully with the auditor this year to put together a format for the future of this district as far as developing its budget process and its financial conditions, and that's what we're really working on. So we want to work with all the assets that we possibly can, and that includes our auditor and our AMPI and people like that. So
I agree
with what Ms. Rosenthal said.
Any additional public comment? No, seeing none, bring it back to the board. And I'll make the motion that we receive the financial statements for period ending January 31st, 2009.
Second. President Sparks?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Aye.
Director Sasanian?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Okay, next will be consent calendar item F, the appraisal of the Midtown property.
Do you want to staff?
Yeah, how about a brief report, okay. Mr. Cooney?
Do you want to do that, John?
Yeah. Okay. We also understand, talking tentatively with county staff, that they would release the proceeds from the bankruptcy to have the property appraised. And so really what you have in front of you is a background on the property. And what we have here is a formal authorizing a formal request from the district to the county to release SRF proceeds to fund the appraisal. The other thing that's in here is a tentative process of how to select the appraiser. And staff would love to hear your comments on this. What we attempted to do was to set forth a framework that would likely satisfy the creditors in bankruptcy, that there was a mechanism to ensure that the appraiser that was selected was indeed a neutral. And that was the whole object of the appraisal selection process. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Bites. During our committee meeting, the subject came up in the third paragraph, the use of the word offer. And there's no requirement that the Midtown property be appraised as part of the offer to the county, which leads one to believe that we initiated by making an offer this property to the county. Could you elaborate on that?
Yes. Well, the object of this is how does a governmental agency or a local agency dispose of surplus property? And there's a statutory framework for doing that, and the basis of the statutory framework is that you first have to offer it to, if there is an agency that provides parks and rec or low or moderate income housing, you first have to make the offer to sell the property to that particular agency, in this case the county, before you can market it openly on the market.
Thank you. Director Sennett?
Mr. Seitz, that doesn't have to, they don't have to pay fair market value, or would that come with a
I've been involved in that process before, and typically it always results in an appraisal regardless, even though there is no requirement for an appraisal. As a general rule, there is an appraisal of the property. All the ones that I've been involved in under these code sections have always had an appraiser with it, because it's helpful, because both the buying agency wants to make sure they're not paying too much, and the selling agency wants to make sure that they're getting adequate consideration.
Some excess land sales are actually conducted under like a bid process.
Yes.
And so that speaks to the mechanism where you may not get your market value price, but actually whatever the market would bear. So it could be less than the...
Yeah. This is for all you real estate folks out there. The typical determination of what definition of fair market value is what a willing buyer will pay for the property, with everybody having a common understanding of the condition of the property. That is the definition of fair market value, and the bid process is one of those ways that's sort of self-defining as to what the fair market value is if you put it out to bid. Definitely.
Thank you. And Mr. Seitz, it's also correct that another reason for the appraisal is because of the property's in bankruptcy, and it shows to the creditors that there's a fair appraisal for their interest as well.
Correct.
With that, we'll have public comment. Ms. Tacker.
Julie Tacker. I'm not convinced we need to do this. My first question is, are we talking about the letter from General Services of 2006 where they showed some interest in the purchase of the property? Or are we talking about the value of what a pump station would be as a fractional portion of the site? Because if we're talking about that, that is an asset that under AB 2701 the county is entitled to just take. We can probably do the math on that and come up with something that is, you know, fractional in its value, but they can have that as part of AB 2701. If we're talking about General Services' interest in the property, I'd say first show me the money, that they have any money. And for the board's consideration, I would say we don't need to do this. But if you're going to do this, the appraisal needs to be remain in closed session, because if it does go out to open, you don't want to taint your offers. And then there's, if hiring Wallace Group to do the obtain the proposals, why can't our staff do that? That bothers me that we would pay for more consultants to work. There's complications with the property. Is the appraiser going to be aware of the Eshek complications, the drainage market, the drainage complications, the market the way it is today, the snail, with or without wastewater service? You know, today that property is not worth very much because it's like every other vacant lot in town. It doesn't have a sewer assessment. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Seitz?
Just to address the one comment, it's a renewed interest. It's not the same interest that we're not dealing with the same interest in 2006.
Can we see the letter? What's the
Okay, Mr. Cooney, there's also a question on the use of Wallace. Can you elaborate?
Well, once again, what the procedure recommended is to ensure that there is a third party involved, so that we're not directly involved, the county's not directly involved. If district staff were to be the ones to collect the three appraisal firms, and then the district were to reject one, we get two bites of the apple rather than just one. So the county's not going to be doing the process. We're not going to be doing the process. We're just looking for an independent party to do the process, so that when we reject our the one appraiser that we're going to reject, and then the county rejects one, and whoever's left is the one who's going to wind up doing the appraisal. And that's, it's just basically an arm's length transaction for the district.
But I guess one can make the argument, Wallace is our district engineer, so are they truly independent?
Well, they also work for the county.
Right.
So, I mean, they work both ways. It's not like, you know, he's not like our guy.
Okay. So. Mr. Seitz.
And I'll just add one more caveat. It may well be that neither agency objects to any of the three, and then we just go with the lowest proposal, right? I mean, so... There's a whole myriad selections that could happen once the three appraisals submit their request for their response to the request for proposals.
Okay, thank you. Additional public comment, Ms. Taylor?
Gwen Taylor, Los Osos. I have a couple of questions. Number one is, are those that are selected going to be listed as to who they are, what their background is? Is there going to be any established criteria? Are they going to have to be certified as state appraisers? Are they going to what is the basic requirements of those that are going to be, shall we call it, selected and or addressed as to the appraisers? Are we as a public going to be able to see who is on the list for the appraisal of the property?
Yes.
And the criteria for which that person or persons is selected?
Yes. Yes and yes.
Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Okay, David Lososos, let me read this here. Action requested, authorized staff to request county to release SRF proceeds to fund appraisal and tentative approve appraisal selection process. I was not aware the county had the SRF funds. I mean, that's the action to be asked to be taken right here. I just read it. Request county to release SRF proceeds to fund the appraisal. Do they have the money? They haven't taken the project yet. So I'm not understanding how that can happen. Maybe there's something that we haven't been told, that the public has not been told, because when we have the right to know. And does this run around afoul of 2701 somehow or another? I'm not sure. And what does the state think about us asking for SRF funds to be released when they said, that's our money, give it back? Poor Danielle Amon, you have our money. Give it back. I remember that at the State Water Board. She was accused of spending the money. But I don't see where you can ask the county for SRF proceeds.
On the Midtown property.
Thank you. And again, I believe it goes back to the end of 2006. SRF funds being a wastewater asset, and we had a bankruptcy hearing, and we had an agreement that we would not... through the bankruptcy, that we would not spend the SRF funds without permission of the county because they were wastewater assets. That the county, we had a contentious hearing in the December of 2006 that set the stage for that agreement. Next speaker, please.
Al Barrow, Los Osos. There's a lot of appraisers out there that would like to have some, make a few bucks, so I guess it could be a competitive process, to be fair. I don't know if you have to put it out to like a RFQ type of thing where you request for a proposal or qualifications and then people apply and then you select someone from that list based on some criteria. The second thing is the zoning of the site has been changed. The Coastal Commission approved that as a facilities zoning and changed the zoning with the condition that it would go back to residential commercial if there wasn't going to be used for a sewer. I don't know if that's been one of the considerations here, but it certainly does make the property more valuable if it goes back to residential commercial. And how much we paid for it originally, I guess, doesn't matter if property values, you know, are different now than when we purchased them. It strikes me from the discussion that this whole process is coming out of bankruptcy, It seems like you said that the people that have an interest in settling their claims from the district are interested in having us do this. Has the judge ordered us to do this? I would like to ask that question. And I also understand that judges can set values for properties, and I can give you a precedent when the community up in Santa Cruz County took their water department back. The judge made the decision on the value of the property, and that's how it ended up, and that's what they paid for it. So I don't know. Two questions. Can a judge set the value? And the second question was, do we have to do this according to the bankruptcy court? Thank you.
Mr. Seitz?
The first answer is no, the bankruptcy court.
Could you give the question along with the no, please?
Does the judge, can the judge set the value of the property, first question?
No. I thought the first question was, has the judge ordered us to do this?
No.
That was the first question.
No.
The answer to that is no.
Thank you.
Second question is, as I understood it, can a bankruptcy court judge or any judge set value? The answer to that is absolutely yes, but it's based on expert testimony, which is the same as the appraisal.
Director Sennett.
It's my understanding that appraisals are based on best and highest use, so that you could reasonably anticipate that if it were zoned a certain way in the past, that it could revert to that if it resulted in best and highest use, and that's what would be the basis of the appraisal.
Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. This question's for Mr. Seitz. The appraisal is going to have to take in all of the issues affecting the property. Are there any issues or covenants, restrictions, anything dealing with the property that deals with ongoing and continuing closed session discussions that will or will not be able to be provided to the appraiser so he can give the most accurate value of the property down the road? I'm just curious for information more than anything, and if that ever comes into play.
Did you understand that?
I think so. The appraisal is only as good as the information that the appraiser A, researches himself, or B, and B, that the client gives him. So, sort of understand this, we would be shooting ourselves in the foot if we were to withhold information that we thought would materially affect the price of the appraisal.
Okay, then just
to do. But he will have the assumptions and the knowledge of the prior appraiser because that property has been appraised, I forget the year, 2000, 2000, someplace on the prior project.
Right.
When we purchased the property, it was appraised. So he's going to have that information. He's going to have all the information from the county. He's going to have all the project information that, as we have heard before. He or she will undoubtedly do her due diligence with U.S. Wildlife, fish and game. I mean, that's what you expect an appraiser to do.
Okay, thank you.
But I can't tell you exactly what he or she is going to do, but that would be my expectation.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Ms. Owen?
Lindy Owen, would it not make more sense that the bankruptcy court order the appraisal and find an independent? It seems like that might be get the county out of the picture, and I do worry that Wallace is working for both the district and the county, and for them to choose an appraiser just doesn't seem like it really gives us the uninterested party that we're looking for, and bankruptcy court might be more directed towards doing that. And then I want to comment, too. I mean, the value of that property will be much lower now that there is no mitigation property. They kind of went as a packet, and I think that's going to be further complicating things. Whoever gets the land now, it's a destroyed Esha. Then it has to be recreated, or mitigation has to be purchased so they can continue the destruction that proceeded, and in order to do any kind of future thing. I'm concerned because I know there was interest from the county parks in looking at the property at one point, and as far as I know, they're spending the last of their money buying some land up in Montana de Oro, which has nothing to do with county park activities. But I don't know exactly where county park would be able to. They couldn't just buy the land without buying the mitigation then to come back and put it back into non-Esha property. So anyway, I do think the appraisal might be best left. I don't think the county should be doing it right now with SRF funds or our sewer funds. I think maybe the bankruptcy court would be the one to have them request it because they need it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment?
I can wait.
Okay. Rachel Rosenthal. Former Director Tacker remembered that the land was appraised in 2006, and yet maybe that was before the bankruptcy. So I was just wondering, did that appraisal go into the bankruptcy, and therefore now it's part of public record, and since there is no privacy in bankruptcy, was that submitted into the court documents, like is that on PACER? Can people go look at that? Are the documents in the public record that's on the website for the case? That's my question.
Mr. Seitz?
Let me just try to address both questions. First of all, as to the prior commenter, John Wallace and Associates isn't going to select the appraiser. They are going to send out requests for proposals, and it's stipulated that the district and the county are going to enter into the process to select the appraiser. And the only thing that Wallace is charged with is not to send out requests for proposals to appraisers that either work for the district or the county, so we're insured of a neutral. As to the last commenter's comment, first of all, I'm not aware of a 2006 appraisal, so that's news to me. And I don't know if it's been submitted to bank. I'm sure it happened. I'm not questioning the truthfulness of the comment. I'm just saying I wasn't aware of it. We will certainly take a look at it, and we would certainly make it available to whoever the appraisal firm that we select, that is selected. Whether or not it's been submitted to bankruptcy, I just don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Any additional public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board.
A policy procedure put before your board concerning the allocation of all tax funds coming into the district. But tonight, in order to keep on track as far as the process goes to make the August date, we'll direct the district engineer to commence the process. We can always stop this process at a later date if we want to.
I just might make a comment for the benefit of the audience and the board. When you implement or raise assessments, there's a process and a procedure that you have to go through, and it's statutory in nature. And this really assessment proposal will be coming back to the board a number of times as each of these procedures unfold. And ultimately, if the assessment does go forward, those folks in the Cabrillo Estates have to approve it through the assessment ballot process. So we are not establishing an assessment here tonight. We are just authorizing the assessment engineer to move forward with providing the assessment calculations and stuff. So I want everybody to make sure they understand what this is. It's not a final decision on anything.
We'll go ahead and take public comment. Mr. Golden?
Yeah, well, the interim general manager raises the question of how the money that comes to this district is received, how it's allocated. And I strongly suggest that once and for all, somebody bring a report. We tried it, and people didn't listen. But I think, you know, talking to the county, really finding out how this works, and I'm not going to go through what we learned, because I think it would be better if it came from the interim general manager, and once and for all realize that the money that's collected in this district, a very small amount of it comes back to the district. Very small.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Now I maybe get to questions I wanted answered the other night answered. The staff report. Do you have it in front of me? Okay. Fiscal year 2006-2007, the second column under street lighting service charge has a figure of $2,170. That goes down to the current year, stating that that revenue is $1,700. How can that, if that assessment has not been increased over the years, how can that number have decreased? There hasn't been a loss of property in Cabrillo. And when you're trying to, I'm curious if when the Wallace Group, the engineer, puts this together, there's a certain portion that deals with drainage in Cabrillo, but this Fund 700 deals with drainage and lighting. And I'd like to know the impact on this fund of which part of it's drainage, which part of it's already funded, which part of it needs to be funded further in the future. That's the second question. And I want to make sure that for the 2008-2009 total budget number that's in this report, that, and I'm sure he will find it, but that number of $19,465 for this year includes $5,715 for consulting services, which is his cost that's added into this budget to start this project. That won't be an ongoing cost in the future. I'm very concerned that you're asking a district that hasn't paid their fair share in the past, but you're looking at a possible increase from $1,700 to possibly somewhere in the range of, if you take the $5,700 from the total budget amount, maybe you're in the $13,000-$14,000 range, maybe more when he does his evaluation. You're talking about, you know, a 6 to 8 to possibly 10-fold increase.
That is consistent from year to year from this point forward.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Yes, thank you. Al Barrow, Los Osos. There are 240 residents or property owners up there, maybe more, I'm not sure. I'm assuming that you're going to have to send each one a notice, a written notice of your intention to do a 13D process to raise their rates, and then you're going to have at least two protest hearings, if I'm not correct, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm going to have to review the procedures, but I believe it's just a ballot. This is not like a protest hearing like on a water rate increase. It's a totally different process. There's two kinds of 218 votes, and one is a protest vote where you have these protest hearings, and the other is a ballot. And this one would be a ballot if I understand it correctly, but again, I'd like to review my understanding of Prop 218.
So then the election would have to be scheduled, approved by the board, and you would have to provide them with the information of how much you want to get them, how much more you want them to pay. And they could defeat this ballot if there's less than 50% in support, I assume. There has to be 50 plus one. So if the people there didn't like that, then they could defeat that. So we're going to be paying Wallace Group how much money to do this assessment. I'd like to know what those numbers are. Does anybody have that, please?
Do you have any other additional comments?
We'll
answer them at the end, Mr. Bell. Barrow, if you could finish your other comments or questions.
You answered their questions.
The budget for the election. The budget for the election is $5,000.
And that's what Wallace would
get. Yes, sir.
Thank you. And next speaker, please.
Okay. Rachel Rosenthal, Los Sosos. Okay, this started, first of all, I keep standing on my tiptoes. This started last year and many times when people kept complaining about people not, some areas of Los Sosos not contributing enough to admin, et cetera, et cetera. And then I met with Mr. Shemp, and I did a whole bunch of research, and I talk with him a lot about this. And I feel guilty about this because I stressed to him in these meetings the importance of documenting the fact that these costs weren't being met before you raise taxes. And the only one that actually showed to not be being met was the Cabrillo street lighting bill, which I went through for 2 years and looked at. And he came up with this idea not to do all the assessment increases, but to come up with the lighting increase, which he left to Mitch and you, and just kind of left it hanging. But in reality, today, as I read this thing for Wallace, this report, whatever this is. Wallace is our assessment engineer. There are so many errors in this report to Mr. Cooney that Mr. Shemp initiated last year. This was not started by Mr. Cooney or you right recently. They say in 1999, CSA powers from the county were transferred to the newly formed LOCSD. These zones include Zone D, Cabrillo Estates, which provided street lighting and drainage service. Totally false. Error, wrong. Here is the resolution passed in 1995 by the county that established a Zone J drainage district that is actually on the Wallace assessment maps, which is mind-blowing that they could even write this. The next thing, and when it was transferred to the LOCSD, the drainage district was passed, and Cabrillo was left only with lighting. I have other documents that show how that was done. Cabrillo is one of the original 1974 Prop 13 property tax districts. So what's false, other than the numbers, is when Wallace says the shortage in the lighting bill is causing a harm to the general public because the general public has to fund this special benefit. That's not true. Cabrillo pays their own property tax in Zone D. The worst that can happen is $5,000 is paid from property taxes to cover their light bill in the short term. Finally, they say they're creating an assessment district. You already have one, and you pass it every year in June.
A lot of money on something, again, that if they say no, what are we left with? Tell me what the district can do then, provided there is a shortfall somewhere that they're not paying their fair share. Are they? Do you then lower the services? Do you turn off the lights? Can you turn off the lights? And what is going to get them to say, hey, for the, especially for their first bill they get on this, whatever it is, which I was just reminded, from maybe $8 to $80. They're not going to vote for that, and you know that. So I this is a little bit more complicated than I first thought of. Rachel makes a good point, lots of good points. Mr. Markson makes a good point. I just don't know what we can tell them what will happen if they don't increase what they pay. What puts teeth into it. And as far as accepting this and going on further, I think there was points made about the errors that I think maybe should be looked at again. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Vice President Ohilski.
Well, since I pulled the item, and this item was initiated under the previous board, and I was at the meetings when this item came up, and when the discussion occurred, and I know the previous board authorized Wallace Group to proceed forward. Even at that time, though, I had questions about this process. I'm not quite sure what the options are. This is what's still not clear to me. If they don't vote to approve the 218, I mean, do we turn the lights off or what happened? This is what I don't understand. And then do we have liability? And I know that was discussed in the November meeting when they gave authorization to proceed forward. So my concern is, are we going down a road that can't end anywhere favorably? And I guess we've already spent, and this is, I got two questions. We've already spent the funds for Wallace to get to the point where we are. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We spent $1,500 so far.
Okay, do we have any... Authorizing this just moves us one more step down the road. Do we have any additional expenses that we would incur to do this?
To move it one further down the road, no, because where the additional expenses will basically come in is going to be they're going to have to prepare a resolution for you, so there will be some costs in that. They'll have to have all the parcels, right. APN numbers. And, then whatever the cost is for that, the big expense, of course, will be the printing of the ballots and the mailing. But we're not moving to that until you approve the next step.
I'm asking, though. If we approve this, what expenses would we incur before we decide to take the next step?
Well, if we approve this, what we're telling them to do is prepare the resolution.
Okay. I guess I have two other questions. And this was never...
Could we have quiet in the audience, please? The board really needs to deliberate with the staff.
And this was never adequately discussed by the previous board. And again, I'm not picking on the previous board, but it just wasn't discussed to my satisfaction as a member of the public what the options would be if the 218, if the vote failed. I mean, do we have any options or... I have a hard time just conceptually believing people are going to tax themselves. And then if there is no downside to voting this down, why would they do it? So I guess that's a question that I've had since November. And I know there's probably no answer to that question, but that's what gives me pause about this particular resolution.
I guess I'd like to make a comment. Right now, we look at our budget. We got $20,000 for Cabrillo, of which utilities is almost $7,000. I know if this were voted down, what I'm going to want to see happen is that those utilities get down below $1,700 a month or more. Right now, this district has no administrative transfer to support the administrative allocation costs for the district. This fund 700 is sapping out the 7,000 utilities, and all they're paying is basically $8 a year. So Can they vote it down? Yes, but I'm willing to proceed to the next step.
Can I finish my... So, I mean, and I think that's a legal question, though, really.
Yeah, I believe that is a legal question, and I think that if you want to proceed along those lines, I would ask our legal counsel to prepare a formal legal opinion as to what the consequences are if they determine that they did not want to raise their own taxes, yes.
Well, then the third question I have goes along with where President Sparks was going. The other side of the coin...
If you couldn't push it another 2 weeks, but we've
already done it once.
We've already pushed it once 2 weeks because this was supposed to be before the board 2 weeks ago. I haven't done the math, but I'm afraid that we could lose the August window.
I guess, Mike, and I'm talking to the general manager, if we had that next phase that you're talking about doing today, I would be a lot more comfortable in moving forward. But well,
so would I. But the forensics involved in this to sort out. I ran the assessment parcel numbers for Cabrillo, and they pay $8 for lighting. They pay $70.70, and this is off the top of my head right now for fire and drainage. They pay some other number. 16, okay. And so basically they're paying $8, that's what they're paying for lighting.
And, I mean, my assumption, or I guess the assumption is that then other operations are subsidizing that because it's costing us more than $8 a month?
That is true, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes, it's costing us.
No, okay. That's all I... Those are my questions.
I believe Rachel is correct, because I've been looking at the drainage resolutions and establishing of the drainage districts, and they definitely, I'm pretty sure they got separated between drainage and lighting. I feel like what our recommendation is that we approve the boundary map and we approve that we recognize the Landscape and Lighting Act of 1972. I think we need to take steps to move forward. This is not doing anything. We're, again, in a situation where doing nothing really is not an option. We can look at those scenarios of what if they turn it down. I'm not so convinced that they would, given the argument, I mean, what we're going to have to lay out before them. Part of the discussion that the previous board had, which I think had a lot of merit, was the approach. How do you approach it? Do you go to an HOA meeting? Do you make contact? You know, what kind of letter do you send them? I mean, there's a way to do this to help them understand that if they value the lighting in their community and maybe they want to improve it, change the light bulbs down, I don't know. I think we have to make these steps to be more proactive and not just wait for something else to happen. So, I mean, I support staff's recommendation in that it does address an issue that has come before this board. I've heard it come before this board for the last 3 years repeatedly regarding Cabrillo needs to, you know, this is one of the first steps in really looking at some equity issues.
Director Sennett.
I think we need to take a look at the lighting and separate the lighting, which is considered safety lighting for traffic purposes, in that the other lighting that's considered merely street lighting or strip lighting. There's a differentiation between the two, and perhaps we could maintain the safety lighting while reducing the strip lighting. Also, I think this process is important to document if we need to reduce services, why we're doing it. There's a good basis. If you don't have the resources to maintain them, then you have to document that. We're not doing this arbitrarily, but it's an economically motivated decision that the district has to make. So I think it's important to move forward on this and bring equity to the discrepancy. Or anyway, to make everything fair. Thank you.
Both disparity and discrepancy. I agree with both Director Kelly and Director Sennett.
Also, I wonder if it would take much resource for our council to look at what precedents are have been set in regard to reducing services based on lack of a service district population to approve an increase in funds.
I mean, Mr. Seitz, I know we had that same discussion back in November with Mr. Schimpf, and I mean, the answer we got that time that there was precedent. So,
yes,
Vice President Ohilski.
No, since I pulled that, you know, I will be going. I'll go along with the staff recommendation, but I think I'd like to piggyback on what Steve said and what Mitch said. I would like our legal counsel to prepare to look at what our options are if the 218 does not pass, because I'm really concerned about that. And I think Steve raised some good issues about
service district, approving the boundary map of the Cabrillo State's lighting district. The second resolution approving the boundary map of the Cabrillo State's lighting district. Did I do that twice?
Yes.
Thank you. Resolution of intention to initiate proceedings pursuant to the provisions of Landscape and Lighting Act of 1972.
Yes, that was my motion, and I appreciate you reading it for me. Thank you.
He admits he was being lazy.
Ms. Vega?
Vice President Ohilski?
Aye.
And Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Sparks?
Yes. Okay, and then that last item we have is general public comment. And so with that, we'll receive general public comment. If you could begin that. Mr. Barrow?
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow, and my concerns tonight have to deal with the fact that the State Water Resources Control Board had an agenda item on the 17th where they discussed how they were going to disperse and what the rules were and the guidelines for the stimulus package. And I called the assistant director, Chris Stevens, and spoke with him. He works for the director of the financial assistance program, and he is a supervisor for each individual project manager. The county project manager in this case is Kyle OCH something or other. I've talked to all of them, and what he told me was that the county would have to have the application in by August 31st with all its requirements, or it would not get any stimulus money. And he also said, and by the way, I direct you to item 13 on the agenda on the 17th and read the errata, which describes this as what the board put the conditions on the staff report. So that's all pretty clear that he told me that they have application for $2 billion and they have $280 million in the stimulus. And they only have to give half of that $280 million away as loan forgiveness or grants. However, the board did say they would give the staff discretion to spend up to 65% of it rather than 50%. So they also discussed the medium household income, which would be 80% of the state to qualify for these lower rates and grants. And they did mention that if the community has a 4% or is over the 4% mark, then they would be qualified for some forgiveness loan. And so there's a number of conditions, and 60 million of the money that would be given or forgiveness or low interest loan would go for green projects. So only 60 million of that whole thing. And so I recall having been promised that Lois Capps would get us $45 million or $35 million in the WERDA bill, and she waited in the bay with the man who was on the Appropriations Committee, and they turned the county down again. So anyway, that's it.
Mr. President?
Mr. Cooney?
I believe, according to your rules of order, you have to take a motion to continue past 10 o'clock.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Do we have any motion to continue?
I'll move that we move continue past 9 o'clock to take public comment. 9:30, whatever.
Was it 9:30?
I'll second that. It's about 10 o'clock.
So you've stopped the clock. That means I get a half hour. Is that the idea?
On second thought. I'll second. And the motion is to continue the meeting past the deadline.
Okay. Can I start
now? Do you
want
a roll call on that?
Yes.
Okay. Director Kelly.
Yes.
President Sparks.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Aye.
Some history. The Brown Act came about because there were boards, and one of them was the L.A. City School Board, that used to, the five of them, go and have lunch. They would talk about everything that was on the agenda. They'd come back to the meeting, and everything was cut and dried, and it was very quick. They had the fastest meetings in town. And this sort of got out, and it was also, this kind of process took place in other places. And so the Brown Act came along. And one of the things that I really want to urge on all of you, since you've undertaken the task, I don't know why you undertook the task of chairing these meetings. I would think people who have full-time jobs and have the responsibility that you do running this district would come and listen at the meeting and hear what the public has to say and not have the extra burden of having to run the meeting, put the agenda together and all that goes with it. But I've spoken on that issue before, and you chose to do it the way you... But I'll tell you, when you have to, A, throw someone out of a meeting, or B, threaten to throw someone out of a meeting, or C, talk about getting the sheriff to come in play, you should take a good look in the mirror and say to yourself, I am a failure, because that's what you are. The person who chairs the meeting, who lets it get to that point, has failed in a very important task, and that is making the public welcome, as it apparently is not at these meetings. And I don't mean to imply that the chair of our meetings hasn't been doing a fairly good job, but look, there are not even 12 people here. And the purpose, particularly of the advisory committees, is to get the public to vet what you're going to have to make your decisions on. And I would think you would be very flexible in listening to that public and not imposing the strict rules that you might want to. And again, I'll just end by saying...
I'm going to have to ask you to thank you for your comments.
You're welcome.
David Lososos, and I believe he was just practicing what you were preaching. I guess I could stand here talk about the county and how they eliminated vacuum for gravity, or how they're doing this wrong or that wrong, or how they violated the Brown Act here or Brown Act. But I'm not going to. Recently, Director Kelly came to me and asked about doing something about affordability. I'm not going into deep detail on it. But I got an email from someone who I had emailed and asked what, because I believe they were under Section 8, which is to help pay for their housing, how that would affect them if their rents went up. And they sent me a response, well, we moved because we were wanting to get out of the, word for word here, but it was bothering them a lot to have to be scrutinized as low income, and then how would it affect them, and how maybe they would just get out of town because it was too much pressure. And I had talked to them a couple of years prior to this email also, and they said they didn't want to get involved, to voice their opinion, because they felt that they would be retaliated against by landlords or others in the community. And some people say, well, that's their tough luck. Well, you know, this isn't a minority family, and they've already had their problems being retaliated against. And I just want to make sure that this community and people in the county, and as well as this board, will take in consideration of forming some kind of committee. I think Ms. Chairperson Sparks, or President Sparks, did have a letter of some sort that would indicate that we needed something for affordability several months back, which we sent to the county, and that we don't look upon these people, the renters, as outsiders. They make up this community. They're the service people or whatever they are, the professionals here. And some of them are low income. And that we do take a good look and put together a committee that will help process the information that the county and the state and the feds are going to need to direct the attention that this...
We didn't have a legal opinion from our attorney that protects our water interests in those comments. And I subsequently have read a viewpoint by the president of the district that tries to appease the community and that the ISJ is going to make everything okay. I'm not comfortable with that. I think the ISJ is unfolding, and everyone is holding hands in an attempt to that everything goes okay. But I think when the rubber meets the road, things are going to get a little hairy. So, I think water management is going to be a very expensive component that the wastewater project is, of course, the most expensive component to wastewater management as a whole, but the ISJ is going to be difficult for each of you as purveyors to be able to fund the improvements that will be necessary that are outside of the wastewater project. And I think the wastewater project should be doing a lot more, and I think your comments could have been better. I wanted to make mention that tomorrow the Planning Commission will be having a field trip with regard to the wastewater project. I hope that my Los Osos CSD directors are there, or some of you would be there. Also, I heard mention that Director Kelly will be in attendance at the April 4th RAC. I hope more of you are there. Our staff should be there. This is... What comes out of the RAC is important. One quick public announcement. I don't know if many of you have heard, but a mountain lion was spotted in Cabrillo Estates last week, and I think that's important that everyone who lives along the Greenbelt should take extra care with their children and pets in the morning and in the afternoon, and maybe study up on the puma themselves. So take care.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor, and to carry on with what Mr. Golden said, I have not only the point that the Brown Act was specifically, shall we call it, indoctrinated into the communities within the state of California because there was, excuse the expression, so much hanky-panky going on. That having been said, we received at the emergency services meeting last night a printout of the cursory part of the Brown Act. But one of the things that is most important that was listed in the paperwork was special meetings. I would advise strongly that the Board of Supervisors has learned, and I would expect that you would learn also, that the community has a right to be heard at regular meetings, whether it's a special meeting or not, and that you take into consideration that there are persons in the community who would like very much to attend and would have great influence as far as they are concerned over what you do if they had the opportunity to speak, but they are not able because they work, because they have children, because they must put them to bed, and because they have families, that they are able to stay at the time of 10:20 for them to put forth their opinions. Public comment is of a vital importance to a CSD, to a Board of Supervisors, to a community that is trying to get back together in some semblance. Please remember your need for public input. That need should be satisfied at the first of every meeting, no matter how distasteful it might be to you as a board. This is what should take place. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Rachel Rosenthal. I'm going to try this one more time in a different mode. This is about, not about an agenda item, but about the matter of this assessment district map that I sent you all. And I hope you will study it, because one day JIRA, it's the LOCSD, does not include lighting. Therefore, in effect, each year that you take those monies for lighting from those other assessment districts that aren't on the agenda, then perhaps those are not lawful assessments. In other words, by accepting the errors this time round, you may wish to go back and clear up the errors that were made when these assessment districts were first created, when the LOCSD inherited them from the county, and talk with your council about it before you keep moving forward with another document that multiplies the errors that are misstatements of fact. In addition to duplicating work that you've already paid for and done. So, as a, you know, I'm also a design professional, so there's issues there, but.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. First, I have three things. One, I'd like to really appreciate Rachel Rosenthal. I think she contributes so much work on looking up and trying to understand what isn't right about our district, and I hope that you do take her seriously because she's pretty on top of things. Secondly, I'd like to remind everybody in the community that if you choose to cut a tree that's over 7 inches, you need to get a permit to cut the tree, whether it's sick, whether it's damaged, or if it's healthy. And I think if anybody cares about trees and they see that being done, they're welcome to call code enforcement. It's in under the county public works code enforcement, and get information, and they will send somebody out to make sure that the tree is legally being taken down. Thirdly, I wanted to just kind of put a reality check on what this sewer might mean, and the county is going ahead with a gravity sewer. They've in every way have told us that that's what they'll build, and they're building it on a very expensive piece of property, and we won't get our water back. So, say, in my situation, I have a quite a older duplex that I bought 15 years ago, 12 years ago. My property taxes are $2,000 a month. I provide affordable housing because I have low rent on my duplex. With the proposal that the county has at $250 a month, actually, it's supposed to be $200. That's what we assessed ourselves for. The county's already jacked it up another $50 for their project that they're so in love with. My property tax will go up to $4,862.50. So from $2,000, I'll be shooting up to $6,000, almost $7,000, an extra $5,000 a month for this sewer that they've chosen. And that's not all of it. Then I have to pay for operation and maintenance. So I want people to understand this is a huge, huge, huge expense for people that are low income or low to moderate income. So the fact that we are not looking at alternatives should make every single one of you up there totally freaked out, because this is not green technology that is being built. This is just the same old, and the green technology never got a chance. The numbers were distorted, and the information did not get vetted the way it should have been vetted, and I'm just very sad that you'll be losing your community.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. I want to talk about a viewpoint that was in the Tribune on Wednesday. Title of it was Sewer Saboteurs Hurt Little Guy. The author was Joyce Albright of Taxpayer Watch. In this article, Chuck, I didn't know that you had associates, but if you do have that category, I'm proud to be an associate if you will have me. I'm going to focus on one or two sentences in here. I have some questions for those people who angrily speak every month at county and district meetings. How can you claim to be for the little guy when your efforts have and will continue to raise the cost of the sewer? That's totally contrary with what I've ever tried to accomplish by speaking out at these meetings. I've always tried to be for keeping the project as low cost to those people who, over the years that don't come to these meetings, talk to me at the post office, in the stores, at public events, that ask repeatedly. And I go back to 2000. This goes back to 2002 when I got involved. Ability and economic impact report, which is would have had provided vast information for moving forward with asking for grants in the future. And because this project isn't being built at this point, this community hasn't paid out $8 to $10 million a month that would have gone completely out of this district and would have affected all of our businesses in this community, because that's all discretionary funds that those individuals weren't planning on spending in the past. Chuck, you have nothing to be ashamed about. And I consider you an associate also. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
I was going to hire a publicist before that article, but I don't need to now.
Seeing none, we'll adjourn the meeting. Next meeting will be April 2nd. Next meeting will be April 2nd. Just want to remind the public. And with that, are there any director comments? Director Kelly.
I thought you were trying to... Bye, Mitch. On Saturday, there's the Baywood Science Art and Science Fair. Is at Baywood Elementary from... I think it starts at 10 o'clock until about 2. That's a very fun little community event. And the CSD will be there with water conservation information. So just want to let the community know that. Thanks.
Thank you. Director Cicina.
Yes. The timing of the viewpoint on Wednesday and tonight's vote on the appraisal of the Tri-W property, I think, requires some kind of address. There's no connection between the two. An appraisal on that property is just part of information that we need to gather. Anybody who thinks that the return to a Tri-W project isn't a cost-effective action. Well, I don't know what to say about that. It's not a matter of throwing good construction money after bad planning money. It's a matter of continuing to throw good money after bad money to try and operate something at Tri-W. The update of the project report that was done in 2006 indicated we could build a step system and operate it outside of town for probably a fourth the cost to operate the membrane bioreactor technology at Tri-W. You would continue to operate the most expensive plant that you could. It's not just a matter of the construction cost, the money that's already been spent. And thanks for the publicity, and thank you for being an associate, those of you who are. Appreciate it.
With that, thank you everybody for coming, and the meeting is now adjourned. Yeah, but Marshall would have been really.